Welcome to session 27. Today's session is called The Eight Elements of Freedom. Well, this week is called The Eight Elements of Freedom, where we take a look at eight key areas that directly affect your health. You may be really improving in some areas or struggling in others, and that's okay. It's part of the journey, as is being patient with yourself. Remember, the habits we have formed, the beliefs we hold, and the physical issues in some systems of our body didn't happen overnight. Therefore, the healing process is going to take time, and introducing positive changes can be quicker than you think, once you have the awareness. Have you ever heard the saying, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link? The eight areas in the elements of freedom are all linked together, and they all affect how you feel. When we become ill, we often do not have awareness of what has contributed to our illness. When we're not aware of something, we don't have a choice in what we can do about it. However, when we become aware, then we have the freedom to choose how to respond. Firstly, remember to celebrate just how far you've come. You are an inspiration to those around you, and sticking to the recovery pathway shows your commitment to yourself and regaining your health. Skipping sessions can mean we have resistance. One thing that can slow progress is skipping through some of the previous sessions. You may have felt like you had already dealt with that subject, or more commonly, that it wasn't relevant to you. Sometimes that might be true. But quite often, it is actually our unconscious resistance that can kick in. It is our reactions operating on autopilot, making decisions for us. Experience has shown us that, as humans, we naturally resist the exact thing that we really need to tackle to make the biggest shift towards recovery. So, becoming aware and watching out for that is an important first step. Before we get into the eight elements, we're going to look at our thoughts and emotions because of the central role they play in triggering and perpetuating many of the physical symptoms that are so debilitating. You will learn more about this from Olympian Anna Hemmings, who was completely unaware of the role her emotional area of the eight elements played in her developing chronic fatigue syndrome. Anna is fully recovered now and is an ambassador for the Chrysalis Effect. She was 6-time world kayak champion and after recovering from CFS went on to compete in the Olympics. She is an inspiration to many, as you will hear from her story. The triggers and causes of her condition were emotional and completely off her radar. But once she was aware, she found the right way to deal with these and make some changes, and her symptoms disappeared. Another point it's good to mention here is how uncomfortable it feels when you fall behind on your recovery pathway sessions. Have you experienced these feelings? Being in our head a lot of the time can mean that we are overthinking and worrying. This plays a big role in triggering many of the symptoms, as is being aware of what's going on in our head and intercepting it, rather than allowing it to keep playing over and over again like a CD on repeat. We recommended in the beginning that you keep a journal, and this will help you become aware of some of the repetitive thoughts and triggers. If you haven't kept it up, it's okay. Just get it back out and start journaling again. For example, maybe when you have conversations with a certain person, you might be feeling okay, but afterwards you start going downhill and not feeling too good. Some symptoms start reappearing, and this is your body giving you a message. Sometimes it's not always so easy to pinpoint, especially if our minds are overactive and are thinking of too many things. That's why journaling or writing down what's going on in your head and detailing your activities is a great way for you to see your patterns. Then you'll be in a position to make a choice about how to deal with the situation and make the necessary changes. If many of your thoughts are about fear to do with your illness, it's common that when you start increasing your activity, for instance, you worry about symptoms coming back. So, what can you do? You will hear in Anna's story how, when she was on her own, she went into her head and worried about her symptoms coming back, and this made her symptoms increase. So she realised she needed to be around friends to stop her worrying. This realisation that isolation made her worse allowed her to take action to stop those fearful thoughts. Are you worse when you're alone or around certain people? Become the observer. Next time you feel those thoughts bubbling up and taking over, become aware of it. There are also blocked emotions that will need to be processed. In some cases, you may feel worse if you try to put on an I'm okay front and try to do too much instead of asking for help. This is often born out of a belief that it's a sign of failure or weakness to ask for help, which is often why we get ill in the first place. This journey helps you to examine whether you're expressing yourself honestly and asking for what you need to be healthy, learning to say no in an open and honest way without feeling guilty is an assertion skill that is essential for our well-being and authenticity. We cover these skills in session 29, assertion, self-esteem, and recovery. The depression that I sank into was because of the isolation that occurred when my health crashed. I would worry about how I would ever get better, visualize myself getting worse and worse and never getting my life back. I wanted to feel needed in the world, but I was too exhausted to do anything about it. My thoughts became obsessive and fearful. I was totally wrapped up in how I felt and what my body felt like. Does this resonate with you? The difficulty when you're isolated and ill is that your mind is all you have for company, and inside your mind there lives a little gremlin that is not your best friend. It wants you to be self-obsessed. It's your ego. It's always warning you of the dangers that are usually non-existent. And it thrives on fear and anxiety. This is what feeds it. Eckhart Tolle calls it the pain body. And when you read his work, The Power of Now, you'll see just how damaging this gremlin is. In life, when we're able to work, socialize, take care of our home, take care of our family, go shopping, plan for the future, life itself distracts us from the horrible little messages of the gremlin, and we can usually keep it at bay. We must break the cycle. We must get out of our own minds and distract ourselves with something else. Is there anything you can do for others? Do you have a friend that would like you to put their photos in an album? Are you better when you have a chat with other people and hear about their lives? I have found a recipe to beat this. I got my adrenal glands supported to help with chemical imbalance. The recipe. Find the trigger to the upsetting thought or emotion. Note what you are doing or who you are with when it starts. Decide what action or distraction you can do to intercept it. This will distract the mind immediately when it starts the fear or anxiety loop. Find the relaxation technique that works for you. Get away from obsessing about you. Help someone else. Anna Hemming's interview is a great example of how dealing with all areas of your health is important. Anna Hemming's interview is a great example of how dealing with all areas of your health is important, and especially being honest about the intensity of the emotional links to symptoms. This is the inner journey to freedom from symptoms. The fact that Anna was an Olympic athlete meant she had already had a very healthy diet and an understanding of the importance of nutrition and taking the right supplements. This is a big part of the reason her recovery only took 2 years. Still a long time out of someone's life, but in terms of many people with these conditions, 2 years is a swift recovery time. Anna's recovery was all about dealing with her emotions, learning her triggers, adjusting her pace of life, and her old habits, as these were triggering many of her physical symptoms. As we have discussed before, when these emotional stress triggers are left unchecked, they affect the endocrine system. Session 9, the endocrine system. As well as when you're not having a good diet, which we cover in session 7, you are what you eat. And session 21, ME, is a kind of internal global warming. We have learned that the neglect of these areas of your life leads to the breakdown of the immune system and the digestive system. And then recovery takes so much longer because of all these areas that need to be dealt with systematically. You will notice in Anna's interview, she mentions that the reverse therapy was what she used to support her towards recovery. The philosophies behind reverse therapy are very similar to those of the chrysalis effect. Reverse therapy focuses on the emotional side and the way the mind and body interact when the belief and thought patterns are triggered by the emotions. Reverse therapy does not address the nutritional and endocrinology. It focuses solely on self-awareness. In our own practitioner training, we teach this element so that you can have the one-to-one support if you need help with identifying your triggers and patterns. Sometimes we need an outsider to help us become aware of what has become the problem. We are all unique, and it's about finding the key to your recovery. Firstly, let's take a look into each of the eight elements so you can see which of the areas you have addressed sufficiently and which ones may be the weak link in your chain of recovery. Nutritional health. Working with a nutritionist, tests, supplements, diet, digestive system, healthy gut, allergies, food intolerances, understanding the impact of these. It's about looking at these areas and seeing where you are and what you have done so far and what may need revisiting. Sometimes we start changing our eating habits, for example, and then slip back into old patterns. Eating foods to which you know you are intolerant, for example. I know for me that I was strict and stuck to a healthy diet because food affected how I felt so much. I would make sure I planned what I ate, and still do now. I prepare and make up homemade soups and freeze them, and I always take fruit and healthy snacks with me when I'm out and about, so I don't get stuck without something to eat. And then, just have to eat whatever's available. A little planning goes a long way. The thing with our digestive system is it's not all about food. When we are stressed, the adrenal switch goes on, and our digestive system slows down or stops, depending on how stressed we are. Remember, fight or flight. The body is ready to fight off the tiger, so all its resources go to support that. Digestion shuts down. When you're just running late or having an argument or stressed out, your body still thinks it's ready to fight the tiger. That affects our gut too. Remembering that these are all linked, keeping yourself calm, using your meditation and relaxation helps your digestive system be calmer. Oh, and your tummy flatter, which is always good. Revisit sessions 7 and 21. Thyroid and adrenals. Home temperature tests. Blood urine tests. Adrenal stress index, supplements, lifestyle changes, yoga and breathing, understanding the impact of these. Making sure you have had these tested is vital, but so is knowing what works for you in terms of keeping your emotions in check. Even when you are resting, if your mind is racing and worrying and the adrenal switch is left on, it's important to find ways to relax. Distract your mind from all of those thoughts. Relaxation and meditation are great things to incorporate into your life. Yoga and breathing exercises have direct links to the adrenals. Which sessions can help? You may want to revisit session 7, Thyroids and Adrenals. Future sessions feature the work of Dr. Wilson, focusing on adrenals and the ways to support them long term. Emotional health. Confidence, self-esteem, awareness, assertion, self-love, values, beliefs, living in the now, knowing what makes you happy, understanding the impact of these. This is a big area and we cover many of these throughout the sessions. Remember that our values and beliefs, session 13, are what drives our actions. So making some changes necessary to allow us to live a healthy and balanced life. We need to change some of the beliefs and get health at the top of our values list. Also, consciously being aware of what you are doing, living in the present, easier said than done, is again something that needs to become a learned behaviour, and awareness is the key to this. When you become aware of your surroundings and environment and more present in what you're doing, without continually worrying about how you will feel or what you're not doing or could be doing. That's a massive part of the recovery process. So just keep bringing yourself back to the now and be present as often as you can. This will make a big difference. The assertion, self-esteem, and confidence are coming up in future sessions. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." Revisit sessions. Session 13 is a good session to revisit, looking at your values. Environment, your home, electromagnetics, feng shui, your space, nature, understanding the impact of these. You know that feeling when you love spending time somewhere? Sometimes we don't always know why, but we know it feels good. Going from a messy room with TVs, computers, and phones to a tidy, relaxing living room where you can light candles and feel relaxed and calm. Creating space that feels good to be in is important, and that can take some time. Maybe start one room at a time in your home, but make sure it's something that you look at, as it's an important part of creating a life that you're working towards. It's not just about feeling better for a while, it's about creating a space that feels good all of the time. Revisit sessions. Session 25, creating a harmonious space. Lifestyle and pace. Balance. Job and career. Creating lifestyle. Nature and creativity. Living in the now. Understanding the impact of these. This is about looking at your week and seeing where you spend your time and your energy. Remember the 8 elements of Freedom Wheel, session 27, seeing where you spend your time. This may be a good idea to revisit the wheel and see how balanced it is now. Also, getting out in nature regularly, making it part of your weekly lifestyle. I know walking in the countryside makes me feel amazing, sitting in a garden by the pond, so make sure you're doing all that works for you. Now, don't laugh at this, but something happens when I drive under trees that arch over and create a tunnel. It's the weirdest thing. I just feel this incredible sense of relaxation, like I take a deep breath. I know I must sound a bit strange, but someone else said it happens to them, and that made me feel better. Next time you're out in a car or walking and you come across an area where the trees create an arch, just be aware. See what happens. I go to the New Forest as this is such a beautiful place with horses roaming around and arching trees everywhere. I love it there. I also go for walks in National Trust gardens, the lakes, rivers, amazing views, picnics in the park. Visiting places that help you relax and be in nature and feel good is important, but do whatever works for you. Tree arches might not be yours, but whatever it is, get out there and do it more often. Revisit sessions. Session 5, The Problem is Really the Problem, where you can redo your 8 elements of freedom wheel, blank canvas exercise, and relook at your work-life balance. Relationships. Friends, family, partner, colleagues, forgiveness, relationship dynamics, understanding the impact of these. We've covered these in some sessions, but we have relationship dynamics and forgiveness coming up in future sessions too. This is so important. Can you remember the story I told you about a business partner I had that used to put me down? They made me feel like I wasn't good enough and had massive family rows when we were having meetings. The relationships that we have with people seriously affect our health. I had to walk away from that as it hugely affected my health. There are interviews with different people on the program who have recovered, and a part of their journey was realizing that their relationships or marriages weren't working. And of course, this is hard to deal with, but they had to face up to it. And when they did and made those changes, it was only then that recovery was possible. So looking at the relationships that you have in your life is key, and we go into this in more detail in upcoming sessions. Movement, breathing, exercise, yoga, pace, what you love to do, understanding the impact of these. Movement is life, and finding what works for you is important. In the early days, it might just be walking or yoga or gentle stretching. But later on, when you become stronger, it's about finding something you enjoy doing. Some people enjoy walking, jogging, running, and others like aerobic classes in the gym or a gym workout on the treadmill. There are so many different classes these days, like dance exercise classes, body balance, something I've done for about 10 years now, I love it, which is Tai Chi, Pilates and yoga all blended together. When you find something you enjoy, you will stick to it. Yoga and breathing exercises can be done at home and incorporated into your everyday lives as well. But remember, it's about pace. So some weeks you may have more on than others. So fit in exercise and do what feels right. Some weeks in body balance, I have more energy than others. So I take the easier options. I listen to my body. Life purpose, passion, who you are, authenticity, vision, be, do, have, legacy. Understanding the impact of these. Why are we here? And what are we supposed to do with our lives? Questions many people often wonder, and it's important to be fulfilled in what we do. But more importantly, it's about rediscovering who you are. We often start becoming what we do. So I'm a lawyer, a teacher, a PA. That's not who you are, that's what you do. Tapping into your passion and your purpose and creating a vision for your life is so powerful. For me, it was a massive part of my condition. I always wanted to do something that made a difference and help people, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I tried many different things over the years. It's something that will always evolve as we do as people and learn new skills and have more awareness. It's important to some people more than others, but what is key is that you are doing something that feels good. We know when we are not happy. Our body soon tells us. We will be talking about finding your passion in an upcoming session, as well as your authentic self and being true to yourself. Harvey McKay says, "Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life." What can help support our emotions? There are many different complementary therapies out there, and in this session we are taking a look at homeopathy, which is a great support for both our emotional health and physical symptoms. We will also look at NAET, which is a not very well-known treatment. We have a fantastic interview with Mary Jane Sharrett, who uses both in her practice and talks about how they can support someone with these conditions. Let's take a look at them and find out how they can support the healing journey. Homeopathy and ME/CFS. Homeopathy has been around since 1796, when a German doctor, Samuel Hahnemann, discovered a different approach to healthcare. The name homeopathy comes from the Greek word meaning similar suffering. There are two ways of treating illness, the way of opposites, conventional medicine, and the way of similars. Homeopathy is an effective and scientific system of healing which assists the natural tendency of the body to heal itself. It recognises that all the symptoms of ill health are expressions of disharmony within the whole person, and that it is the person that needs the treatment, not the disease. Let's give you an example. In conventional medicine, for insomnia, they will prescribe a drug to bring on artificial sleep. In the way of similars, the homeopathic way is to give the patient a minute dose of a substance such as coffee, which in large doses causes sleeplessness in a healthy person. Surprisingly, this enables a patient to sleep naturally. Homeopathic remedies work by stimulating the body's own healing power. Homeopathy has a long history of treating ME and CFS and can greatly assist with both physical and emotional symptoms. There are over 2,000 homeopathic remedies available. So the skill set of the practitioner is in selecting the remedy which best matches the total set of symptoms of the patient. Taking a full case history usually takes 1 to 2 hours at first appointment and will include details of medical history, family's medical history, as well as plenty of detail about current symptoms, including questions about diet and sleep. The practitioner will try to find out about the individual's personality, what they love to do in their spare time, interests and hobbies, foods they like and dislike, what makes them angry, etc. Based on all this information, a remedy will be chosen for the patient. Some practitioners will prescribe more than one remedy, for example. There may be one that is suited to the patient in general, and others to address specific symptoms such as vertigo or insomnia. A key part of prescribing a remedy is trying to identify the cause of the illness. Many sufferers from ME will have burnt out, and the homeopath will try and discover what drove the patient to overwork initially. Others will have developed symptoms after a viral or bacterial infection. It's very common for glandular fever to precede ME. While some people may have become ill after a traumatic emotional event. The action of the remedy depends on the individual. Some people will experience a huge shift in symptoms and energy almost immediately, whilst others may notice a more subtle shift over a period of weeks. One reason that the initial case taking is so detailed is to enable the homeopath to identify a change in symptoms. When a symptom has disappeared, the patient will often forget they had it. Appointments are usually every 3 to 6 weeks for homeopathy, and treatment will usually be over a prolonged period to support the patient through their recovery. Another form of treatment which is not well known but is incredibly useful when working with allergies and intolerances is NAET. Nambudibad's Allergy Elimination Technique. Let's explain it a bit. Let's experience a bit about NAET before I share my experience when being treated. It was devised by Dr. Devi Nambudibad in the early 1980s and is a highly effective treatment for eliminating allergies and sensitivities to food, animal fur, pollen, etc. Anyone suffering from ME or CFS is likely to have food intolerances, and NAET can remove these, ensuring that nutrients from food are properly absorbed. This in itself will usually result in an increase in energy for the patient as the body begins to obtain optimal nutrition. The treatment uses simple kinesiology to detect the presence of allergies or sensitivities. Then acupressure is used on the back and on specific points in the body, and this effectively reprograms the body. The treated substance is then avoided for 25 hours after treatment. Nutritional supplements may then be recommended to boost the body's level of essential vitamins and minerals once any allergy to these substances has been eliminated. As with homeopathy, the initial appointment will involve a detailed case taking to find out about the personal and family medical history of the patient and the potential causes of illness. At the first appointment, the practitioner will usually test some basic food groups to ascertain treatments which may be required. Some ME or CFS sufferers will be insufficiently strong for the kinesiology to be performed on them, in which case it's advised that a friend or family member attends each session and acts as a surrogate. Most people undergoing NAET treatment come for treatment every week or twice a week. Treatment can take many months, but the results are profound and can transform the quality of life for many people. This was an interesting experience when I went through this process, of course made so much better by getting to see Mary Jane every week. When you work with a practitioner, you get to talk to them about so many other things as well. I wasn't completely sure how it worked, but I trusted the process and had had enough of avoiding so many foods. Some weeks were easier than others, depending on what I had to avoid for 25 hours. And being the healthy eater that I am, this could be interesting. Especially when avoiding B vitamin. Now that was an interesting one. I ended up eating sausage and chips deep fried for breakfast and lunch and boiled cabbage. What an excuse to eat food like that. See, when we say we will do anything, we really do. But trust me, it was so worth it. I can now eat eggs, chicken, chocolate, and so many foods I was initially intolerant to for so many years. It's fantastic. So, because we've looked at all the areas this week, and it's been a holistic week, the number one top tip this week is to find a way to celebrate just how far you've come. Whatever makes you feel good, go and do it. Love and Belief, Elaine and the Chrysalis Effect team.